In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for His infinite love, mercy, and compassion, allowing us to be in His holy church, in His holy house, sharing His word, which is the only truth in existence. And the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that everyone who is with us in this holy church and everyone who is watching us through live streaming, amen. If I could ask everyone to stand for the Lord's Prayer, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgave our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, we're going to have to go straight into the topic, and we are in our commentary on the book of Revelation. Today we'll be reading from chapter 20 and verses 6 to 10 inclusive. So it is the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verses 6 to 10 inclusive. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever, and all glory be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Well, last week we spoke about this first resurrection and the 1,000 years. And I would like to elaborate a little bit more of what we mentioned already last week. The 1,000 years, we said that it is a spiritual and symbolic number. It's not a literal number as some people may think it is. It is a number that is a perfect time frame in God's mind that He has put to save people and to judge people at the end of it. And that 1,000 years can be the entire lifespan in this realm. Because a day to God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to God. Therefore, there is no time for the one who has created time. For him, he can go forward, backward, anytime, all the time, as he pleases. For God, time does not exist. He is the creator. So this 1,000 years is your life. And it can be the very beginning from Adam, the first Adam, till the last human being that comes. All that lifespan can be taken as 1,000 years. And this first resurrection. Now, why is it the first resurrection? And what is the first resurrection all about? First resurrection is to do with the first coming of the Lord Jesus, and the second resurrection has got to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I'll just wish to read this. Who are going to be part of the first resurrection? Well, last week we took verses 4 and 5. I'll just read them again. They're not on the screen, but I'll read them again. And let's see who are those who will be part of the first resurrection. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. So who are going to be part of the first resurrection? those who were martyred for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the word of God, those who never worshipped the beast, never had the mark of the beast on their forehead or on their hand or on their forehead. Those who rejected the world and the system of the world, the first resurrection is their portion. And we said, those who are born twice will die once, and those who are born once will die twice. Those who are born once will die twice. Born once, the biological physical birth that every single human being goes through. If you are born only the physical birth, you will die twice. One, the physical death. Second, the spiritual death, which is the separation of the spirit with its creator. But those who are born twice will die only once. Born once, physical. Second, spiritual, from the baptismal font, in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you are born second time, the baptismal font birth, you will only die once, physical, but spiritual, you will live forever. For he who has the Son has eternal life. You will never die again. Now, the first resurrection is while you live on earth. That's your first resurrection. The second resurrection, when Christ comes the second time. What is the first resurrection? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you grow in a Christian family, but living for Christ. And when you as an adult come forth and receive Him in the baptism that you never been baptized before. But if you were baptized as a child and you grow into the faith, you are born again, because baptism is born again. It is one of the seven sacraments of the true church of Christ. Now, when you are baptized as an infant, but as you grow older and you mature, you need to build a relationship with your Lord Jesus. Building that relationship maintains the first resurrection for you, because you are born now from above, no longer from below. The first resurrection means, before I was lost, but now I'm found. Before I was dead, but now I am alive. The first resurrection means, before I used to go to the club, but today I go to the church. I used to use foul language, but today I praise the Lord. My tongue has changed. My heart has changed. My mind, my entire being is changed. This is being resurrected the first time. I'm no longer of old, but I am anew in Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. We come to verse 6. Those who are part of the first resurrection, i.e., true Christians, not just by name, but by deed. Those who are true Christians, verse 6 is for you. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are they, those who truly wish to live for Christ, who wish to follow Christ wholeheartedly, who reject the world, the pleasures of the world, the treasures of the world, and the prestigious life the world gives. Those who reject the world and everything it gives, blessed are you and holy you are in the sight of God, because the first resurrection is your portion. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. First resurrection, I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. I do not live for myself, I live for the Lord Jesus. That is the first resurrection. That is the first resurrection. Now, to people as such, over such, the second death has no power. You see? What is the second death? Spiritual death. We said, if you are born once, you die twice. Physical, spiritual. The physical death, the spirit leaves the body, separates from the body. The spiritual, the spirit separates from God. Now this is the eternal death. This is the real death, when my spirit separates from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To such person, you call them dead. Now, since you are part of the first resurrection, i.e., I live for the Lord, I breathe the Lord, I seek the Lord is all I want in this world. Not in the next, in this world. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I walk in this world, but I live for Christ. If you are that kind of a person, the second death has no power over you. And the second death is separation of the spirit from the Creator. When Christ is your portion, God is your dad. You live forever. He who has the Son has freedom. See, the world seeks freedom. And the more the world seeks freedom, the more they are enslaved. Because they are doing it for the wrong reason, in every way the wrong way. That's why they are slaves. Slaves. Hollywood celebrities, they seek freedom. Where are they? I just want to see one Hollywood celebrity. How do they live? Absolute disastrous. Empty, vanity of all vanities. They destroyed their life, destroyed their soul for the sake of seeking freedom their way, not God's way. I've always said it, and I'll always say it till the last breath, which the Lord Jesus himself keeps in this body. Don't ever associate yourself with Hollywood. Don't ever support Hollywood. Don't ever listen to any music that comes from Hollywood. It is satanic to the core. Period. Now you may hate me for this. You may reject what I'm saying. You may say, no, I disagree with you. But really, with all love and respect, I don't care. It's evil. Hollywood was established by Satan. Satan worshippers. Don't listen to anything, please. Anything else? Just Satan worshippers, period. The way they do their music, the way they do their lyrics, absolute satanic rituals. Absolute. So you want to call those celebrities, wow, whatever, and people pay thousands of dollars to go and say, wow! What are you shouting? What are you screaming? What are you yelling, my child? Oh my goodness. I think I need to visit Hollywood just to convert them all and baptize them all in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get them out of that hell. Get them out of that hell. Blessed and holy. What a beautiful two words. Oh, this alone is a topic. Blessed and holy. I could talk for hours on these two words. For hours. Even though I don't have a watch, but we don't have the time. I literally don't have the time because I don't have a watch. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy that Christ is your portion. Blessed and holy you are, for Jesus Christ is your heavenly groom and your good shepherd. Blessed and holy you are. Over such, the second death has no power. They can kill the flesh, but they can't kill the spirit. The spirit is entrusted in the hands of the Almighty Jesus Christ of Nazareth, where no one can snatch it away from. No one, the Lord Jesus said, no one can take anything from my Father's hand. And then he says the most powerful statement, I and the Father are one. Not the Father and I and the Father. So for those who claim that Christ is not God, well, Jesus put himself before God. Now, if he's not God, he wouldn't have dared to say, I am God. But since he is God, he said, I and the Father are one because I am God. Look at all the prophets of the Old Testament, from the greatest to the least of them. None of them dared to say, I and Yahweh are one. None of them. Jesus said, I am that I am. Yahweh, I am. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Priests of God and of Christ. There are two types of priesthood. One is the generalized priesthood sense, and there is the specified priesthood. Please pay attention. Not everybody is a priest in the specific sense, but in the general sense, everyone is. There is the generalized priesthood, and there is the specific priesthood. Now, the generalized priesthood offers two kind of sacrifices, but the specified priesthood offers three sacrifices, one extra. Now let's look at the specified priesthood. What is that extra sacrifice they offer? The body and the blood of Christ. The general sense priesthood cannot offer the body and the blood because you're not a priest. Don't ever try to be one. And if you do, you will end up like Korah. Read the epistle of Saint Jude just before the book of Revelation. It is one chapter. Read the epistle of Saint Jude, one chapter, verse 11, and see what happened to Korah, how God punished him for him coming and daring to making himself equal to Aaron, the priest chosen by God. Yet God never chose Korah. Korah said, if Aaron is a priest, I'm a priest, like they do now. And what did God do to Korah? Opened the ground, swallowed him, and those Israelites that went with him all died, perished. So the specified priesthood gives three offerings or sacrifices. One of them is the body and the blood of Christ, where the general sense priesthood cannot offer this one. Let's come to the generalized priesthood. They have two sacrifices. We find it in the epistle of Saint Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verses 14 to 16. Today we'll be having a lot of readings, so bear with me. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 14 to 16. For here we have no country, no continuity city. Sorry. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. One, to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and number two, to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. For here, we have no continuing city, meaning this is not home. This world is not our country. This world is not our city. It is not continuing because everybody's got a grave awaiting them. We came empty-handed from the womb of our mother. We will go back to our mother nature also empty-handed. There is no continuing city for us in this world. Stop chasing the world. Stop chasing the treasures and the pleasures of the world and the fame of the world. I want to be known. I want to be seen. I want to have the greatest rank and position in the world. I want to be famous. I want to be rich. I want to conquer. I want to rule. I want to be a dictator. Where is Hitler? Where is Lenin and Stalin? Where are the empires of the world? Gone. Gone with the wind. You come with nothing, you leave with nothing. We have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share. But with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Have we forgotten about praising God and sharing with others? What happened to the charitable deeds? Sharing and caring. What happened? The two sacrifices, the generalized sense priesthood is praising and giving, sharing. You give, stop taking. You need to give. Be a sharing person. Be a considerate person. Be a person that is thoughtful of others. When you come to eat at the table, do you remember those souls that live starving to death? They go to sleep starving. They wake up starving. Do you think of them? When you are under that roof, in that comfortable bed, do you think of those who are homeless, in the streets, living at the gutter? That is giving. When you come to the church and praise the Lord Jesus, sing to Him, worship Him, this is a sacrifice offered in the generalized sense and also in the specified sense. When you do a charitable deed, almsgiving, helping the needy, reaching out to those who are afflicted, who are rejected, who are forgotten, you are a priest in that sense. But when it comes to giving the body and the blood, only the specified priesthood can do that. And that is chosen by the Lord Jesus to certain people, not the whole world. The Lord chose 12 people out of the entire Israelite nation. Those 12, He made them priests in the specified sense. What do I mean by this? Every one of us is a doctor in the general sense. What is the job of a doctor? Healing people, isn't it? I hope so. Well, the big pharma didn't leave much room to that. But anyway, that's a different topic. But the role of the doctor is to heal people. When it comes to healing, every single human being needs to be a doctor. Why? Because I need to be a healer. At home, when I see somebody feeling down, I go to them. What's wrong, darling? Are you okay? I sit, I talk, I be a listening ear to them. All of a sudden, I've changed them from being sad into a very happy, smiley face. What did I do to that person? I just healed the person. I am a doctor, but in the general sense, that doesn't give me the right nor the permission to enter the operating theater and chop people's heads and chests. I'm not a surgeon in the specific sense. I'm a doctor in the general sense, but in the specific, you need to be qualified. In the general sense, we praise the Lord. That is a sacrifice. You came to church this evening. You've sacrificed your time for the Lord. You're a priest. And when you help a needy person, you've sacrificed your money. That is a priesthood role. But you are not allowed to go up on the altar and offer the body and the blood of Christ. Only the specific priesthood that is chosen by the Lord to certain people. My beloved, you're not a priest in the specific sense. So don't try to be one. And don't try to abolish it. The Lord established it. You cannot abolish it. Now, sacrifice comes from one source only, love. L-O-V-E, all capital letters. You see, without love, it is impossible to sacrifice. Impossible. And we find on the earthly level, human level, we find this love illustrated so powerfully in the parenthood rank. Parents. They sacrifice their life for their children without even thinking for a split moment. What if the children never respect this kind of a love we are giving them? Why? Because the love is genuine. The love is from the heart. When the love is genuine, all it does, it gives, never takes. All it does, it gives, never takes. So without love, there is no sacrifice. When you praise the Lord, you're sacrificing your time for Him. Why are you doing that? Because you love the Lord. If you didn't love Him, you wouldn't have come to His holy church. If you don't love someone, why would you go to see them? Why would you want to spend time with someone you don't love? So what drives you to seeing them? What drives you to giving up your time, your comfort zone is love. When this guy falls in love with this good-looking girl, poor thing, he's lost. He's never comfortable. He can't sleep, can't eat well. He looks terrible. Beforehand, he was a superstar. Now, miserable. Because he's gone out of his way. He's gone out of his normal routine. He's gone out of his normal lifestyle for the sake of that love towards that person. But you see, when you're praising God, you're giving it to God. That's a sacrifice. But when you give something to a person that is in need, how come you are giving it to God? Because everything needs to be given to God. But when you're helping a hungry soul, when you're going to a homeless person and helping them, you're helping the person, not God. Well, the Lord Jesus said it in Matthew 25:40. Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So when you help the needy, you're helping the Lord, not that needy person, because that needy person is the Lord dwelling in them. And that's why John the Beloved says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ. Not only God, but of Christ. Now, but Christ is God. But there is a difference. Christ is the incarnate Logos. God became man. God in his nature is spirit. God in his nature doesn't have a body. Who put on the body, the human nature? The Son of God, the Logos, the Word. So Christ is where divinity and humanity were united. Now, this is the only time when you help a needy person, you're helping God, because God became that needy person. He became a human being. So God shared our poorness, our sickness, our sins, everything. He shared it with us. But he never sinned, but he took our sins upon himself. Since he shared it with us, every time you help a person, you're helping God, who became man, who is Christ. You with me? So now we are priests for God and for Christ. So when you praise God directly, you're sacrificing it for God. And when you help a person directly, you're sacrificing it for Christ, who is God revealed in the flesh. Now, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We said about the 1,000 years. Verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Satan, so sorry to say, he's been released already. We are living in the end of times. And the end of times is every 2,000-year cycle. Every 2,000-year cycle is an end of time. From our father Adam to the flood, our father Noah, the great flood, 2,000 years. From Noah to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years. And from the Lord till today, we've just passed slightly over 2,000 years. We are living in the end of times. Satan has been released from his prison. And when he's released, what is he going to do? Very dangerous. He will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, meaning he is going out to deceive the whole world. No country will escape the deception of Satan. No country. This is why I'll give you this advice, my beloved. Don't ever say one day to yourself that I am safe if I stay in Australia. Well, not so much, is it? that I am safe if I live in America, that I am safe if I live in Asia, Africa, Europe, Middle East. There is no place safe except one, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the only everlasting city. This is the only utopian world. This is the only place where you find your safety net. His name is Jesus. He is the place. He is the place. He's going to deceive the whole world, all the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. It doesn't take a genius to figure this one out. Look what has been happening in recent years in the world. Sick to the core, evil to the core, immoral to the core, in every way evil. The escalation of evilness has never been seen or tasted ever before. Why? Because Satan has a short time. He knows his time will come to an end. So he will work extra time to make sure he'll take with him to hell as many souls, as many humans as possible. He's got his mind set on that. He wants to destroy the world. He wants to destroy humanity. And he will do every way possible and every mean possible to bring people into this deceptive way and taking them all with him to hell, my beloveds. But he'll come in a very cunning way. You see, Satan's tactics are two ways only. The Holy Bible says he can be like a roaring lion or he can be like a snake. That's the two ways he uses. A snake, sneaky. You'll walk, you won't hear it until you are within range of putting that poison in your body. Then you will hear the snake riddles and then bites and put that poison, but it's too late then. The sneaky way is, he'll come in a nice way. He'll come to you, my daughter, far from you. But it's an advice, be careful. He'll come to you, my daughter, and say, look at you. You are so beautiful. You're so young. You have life ahead of you and the freedom you can enjoy and you can do. You know what? Have fun, girl. Enjoy life. Look at the guys that are dying just to talk to you. Look at the ways that are awaiting you. You can be so famous. You can be so rich. You can be so powerful. And look at this. And you can go to Istanbul, Turkey and change your entire face for $10,000. Where it can cost you here in Australia $100,000. Much cheaper. Take the ticket, fly to Istanbul, get your face done and come back again. And you live in a free country. Australia, America, Canada, Europe. You can do whatever you want. No one can stop you. No parents. No church leaders, no one. The government backs you up. Live for yourself. Don't live for no one else but you. And then you go out. Feels good. It tastes good. But at the end, it's the poison of snake that awaits that soul. It's the poison of the snake that awaits that soul. So many people have become famous, but at the end, they perished. What happened to Michael Jackson? What happened to Whitney Houston? What happened to so many powerful figures, my beloveds? What happened? What happened? All started in the church. And then, fame destroys. When it's done against God, and this God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray the next president of America, I want whoever the president may be, I pray it's Donald Trump, because there is no hope with Kamala Harris. I'll vote for Joe Biden any time of the day, but not for Kamala. With all love and respect, Joe Biden is much more intelligent than Kamala Harris. But I pray it is Donald Trump, but whoever the president is, according to the Lord's will, because it is the Lord Jesus who instates them and takes them. It is the Lord, not the elites. Yes? Not the elites, it's the Lord. Next time, please, I pray this message gets to the president who's going to be next in the White House next month coming. If you take this as a prophecy, take this as a message from the Lord Jesus to you, Mr. President. If you do not invoke the name of Jesus Christ as your God, when you say, may God bless America, when you say, may God bless America, if you do not specify which God it is, you and America are gone, never to be back. Trust what I'm saying. You better believe in what I'm saying. America will receive mighty punishment from the Lord Jesus, because America veered off the road immensely from the Lord. So next time, Mr. President, you say, God bless America, you say, God, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bless America. Because to some people, God is a cow. So which God are you talking about, Mr. President? Which God? If you're a Christian and you're ashamed of your Lord in public, then you are not worthy of that position. You're not. The Lord Jesus said, he who is ashamed of me in this world, I will be ashamed of him before my Father. Do you want to receive this kind of a treat from the Lord Jesus? Go ahead and be a hypocrite. I love everyone. I pray for everyone. But my God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you do not share my God, I will not share my God with no one. My only association with people will be at this level, humanity only. Because your God is not mine, period. You can say, I believe in God from now till kingdom comes. Unless you say your God is Jesus Christ, then it is not the same God. I'm so sorry. You are free to believe in whatever you want to believe. I'll still pray for you, but I will not share this kind of approach that we worship the same God or we believe in the same God, as some Christian leaders in recent years have been stating in a very deceptive way. At the end, all humanity worship the same God. Sorry, they don't. Do you get it, Mr. Church Leader? I don't care what your rank is, how high or low. If you do not say that there is only one God and his name is Jesus Christ, then get out of that position. It's not for you, because you are not man enough to fill that position. You're not man enough. I need a chocolate sundae, man. I need to cool down, brother. All right. See, Jesus is my life. I can't help it. I'm not faking it. I'm not acting. I'm not making up stories. The moment I say Jesus, that's it. I'm captivated. I'm finished. I don't know anything else. I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to know anyone else. I don't want. And if, which is never the case, but if there was another God better than Jesus, I don't want to know that God. Jesus suffices and more. For me, he is the only true God. But of course, there is no other God but him. He took me to heaven and he showed me hell. In heaven, he is the only one and he's the only way to heaven. You cannot come to heaven without Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sooner or later, my dear friend, you'll find out. You may be shocked. I'm so sorry. But the truth hurts a lot sometimes. There is no one. And in heaven, Jesus. In fact, he is heaven. He makes heaven, heaven. His beauty overrides the beauty of heaven. Even though heaven blows your mind away. It is stunning. Heaven is stunning. But when Jesus shows up, heaven is no longer stunning. All your focus is on this breathtaking person called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Jesus is amazing. My sons and daughters, please, I beg you, do not fall for Satan's traps and tricks. Do not. Do not go anywhere where the Lord disapproves of. You need to come to Him. It's not about having fun. It's not about it feels good. It's not about I feel good. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. How does the Lord feel? What does the Lord say? Where are you in relations to Christ? Are you in His radar? Within His range? Are you close to Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you looking for Him? Are you thirsty for Him? Or are you just living, as they say, go with the flow? What flow? That flow ends you in hell. It's not a joke. And by the way, hell is unbearable. Oh, Satan, if you think you've seen something that is ugly, Satan surpasses all ugliness. He's one ugly, horrible, terrible, and scary creature. Very scary. Very ugly. By the way, if it's not the Lord's protection, He can wipe the whole world in 1 second. What nuclear weapon is much more powerful than all nuclear weapons put together? He can wipe the whole world in 1 second. He is that powerful. But Christ crushed His head on Calvary. And He gave you authority to crush Him under your foot. When you have Christ as your King and Lord and Savior, you can crush Him. When you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, Satan is gone. When you make the sign of the cross, Satan is burned. When you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, all hell is burnt. All hell. Jesus Christ is one amazing figure. Amazing. I pray the whole world gets to know the Lord. Unbelievable. I can assure you there will be no more fighting, no more arguing, no more quarreling. Those who have Christ in the heart, not just Christian by name, no, Christian by deed. When you have the Lord, you will not fight over a land. This is my territory, that's your territory. Palestinians might just come and get the land and get on with your life. Enough bloodshed. Enough bloodshed over a land that is your graveyard. Is this the land you're fighting for? This land is nothing but a grave. It swallowed emperors, presidents, and kings before you. Do you think it's not going to swallow you, Mr. Prime Minister? But for the church to fight for materialistic things, now that is the disastrous of disastrous of disastrous thing. The church should never ever seek materialism. Nothing is yours, my dear church leader. So the millions you have in your bank account, you better give it to the poor before the termites eat you in that grave. There is a lot of people starving in Africa. There's a lot of people starving everywhere. Help them. Don't ever ask for their identity. Don't ever ask for their race, for their color. Don't ever ask for their religious backgrounds. We are equal in humanity. If I see an atheist, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a human being, I don't care who they are and what they are. If I see them, they are in need. I will take off this outfit that I'm wearing and I'll put it on them. I'll stay naked for them to be clothed. I do not differentiate between no one. Why? This perfect God and perfect man taught me to be this way. All glory to His holy name. I've learned from Him, from no one else. Because He is the only good teacher. He's the only good teacher. Oh, I need to move on. You're going to go home. I'm going to miss you. Right. Now, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. And he's doing so as we speak. Look at the world. Ugly. Terrible. Countries introducing laws offensive to the Almighty God. Offensive. And now, look at Australia. I can't recognize this country, Mr. Prime Minister. You better heed this. This is a message for every leader, secular and religious. I cannot recognize this country that once upon a time was built on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And today they are trying frantically to introduce this bill called the misinformation and the disinformation and the unknown information and the hidden agendas information. And I don't know what else information bill they wish to introduce. So anything that is defined by the government as a misinformation, we are not allowed to say it. So maybe one day when I say Jesus Christ is the only true living God, to them is a misinformation, because Jesus Christ is not the only living God to other people that live in Australia. So Bishop, you cannot say Jesus Christ is the only true living God, because that is a misinformation. You are misinforming people. Wow. So the government will come and say you cannot say that on a social media platform. We'll close your account. Will sue the social media, and then they have no choice but to close your account. They've been trying frantically. And this was tried before when the incident happened. If you're not aware, I'll say it. This whole thing came because of the incident. So they took the incident as their political advantage. That's what politicians are good at. The fake ones, not the genuine ones, but the fake ones. So they took it and said, well, we can't show this video. It's too horrific for people. Well, how about those video games that are so horrific for little angels that are being exposed to? Those video games, killing, stabbing, bloodsheds for little angels. How about that, Mr. Prime Minister? You and your e-commissioner. E-commissioner? Electronic. AI, mate. So they said you cannot. Elon Musk took him to court. He said, I'll remove the video out of courtesy, but I will take you to court. His lawyers approached me. This was a few days after the incident. His lawyers approached me. I said to him, and with all love and respect, I love everyone. I said to that lawyer, I said, I'm doing this not for Elon Musk. With all love and respect, I'm doing it for one reason. Because freedom of speech and freedom of religion is a God-given gift. No government on earth can stop what God has already put and established on earth. So I'm doing it for my Lord Jesus, not for anyone else. With all love and respect, whether it's Elon Musk or someone else. So that way, nobody thinks that I'm doing it for money. I could have said, I'm not signing the affidavit, and the affidavit saved the court case. And there was no one else involved except me. So if anybody tries to receive some benefits out of me, sorry, you were not involved. It was all about me. And he said, we have only a couple of hours to give it, to put it before the Supreme Court or the High Court judge. I could have said, I'm not signing it. Tell Elon Musk to call me. I could have built a lot of orphanages else, you know, in a lot of countries. I could have taken advantage of it, but this is not the Lord Jesus. So I pray one day I have the privilege to be the next Prime Minister. Man, I'll sack everyone. I'll bring the boys from Lakemba and Campbelltown and everywhere, man. They'll be the next ministers of this country. Beautiful. Anyone with a tattoo, come, let's go. Because they're genuine. You know, so many times we judge, but we judge unfairly. You may see somebody with a tattoo and earrings and everything walking in the street and you say, oh, be careful of this person. No, but this person is genuine. He'll say it in your face, I hate you. He'll say it in your face, I love you. He will not be a hypocrite. This kind of a person, the Lord Jesus loves. If they come to the Lord, man, they'll turn the whole world upside down. As long as you're genuine. Don't fake it. Don't fake it. Satan is deceiving all the nations, and he is doing a good job so far. Very sad. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. So Satan is gathering Gog and Magog together to go to battle. And this Gog and Magog, the number is as the sand of the sea. You can't count the army, huge army. Now who's Gog and Magog? We don't have the time. It's getting late. My goodness, I'm not used to this. Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog in a nutshell. No, I can't do it in a nutshell, please. Give me 1 second. Let's go and read together. It's not on the screen. You'll have to listen to me now. I'll read you from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet of the Old Testament around 700 BC. Ezekiel is a prophet of the Old Testament, chapter 38. Let me read just a few verses. Ezekiel chapter 38, starting from verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Rosh, Russia. Meshech, Moscow. Tubal, surrounding countries of Russia, Ukraine, Georgia. These countries were all part of Russia, the great USSR. So Gog is Russia, and Magog, the alliance of Russia, and the greatest of all, China. Russia, China, and their alliances. Maybe North Korea, maybe Turkey, maybe Iran. They will get together and strike Israel. Eventually, that will happen. At the moment, they're just playing games. But it's a very dirty and expensive game at the stake of innocent children and people, their blood being shed for their dirty games. But this game will turn into a real later on. Israel will be struck by the next superpower, and it will definitely be Russia, China, and other countries. Now, the thinking brain is Russia. The muscle is China, because their economy can sustain a battle for a very long time. Why do you think Great Britain exited the EU, European nations? They said, we don't want to lose the pound. Oh, hello. All the rest are fake. Today, their allies, the moment America falls together from World War I to World War II, together. The one who made America as Great Britain. The one who established onto America. But the brain behind it was Great Britain. Because I must say to our beloved British people, you've got a brain that can move countries and the whole globe. Intelligent people. But sometimes, unfortunately, that extreme intelligence is used for evil intentions. And I'm talking about government levels, not the poor citizens. Beautiful people. I know some British people, amazing, stunning, beautiful people. Beautiful people. But every government is corrupt, my beloved. It's corrupt. Just like Donald Trump, he said, I want to build a wall to protect my country. Why is the Pope against this? This is my country, not yours. With all love and respect. He's right. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the principle here. If a president wishes to look after his country, no one is entitled to interfere. It's not your country. You don't like it, don't come here. Go to a country that blends in with you. Blends in with you. Oh. Gog and Magog, Russia, China. They will strike Israel, because at the end, Satan is plotting all this. He's gathering them together to go and strike Israel. But look what will happen, my beloveds. Now, whose number is as the sand of the sea. China can bring 200 million fully armed soldiers. Who can fight a 200 million army? And they have another 200 million reserve. How much Australia has in reserve? And every time the plane flies, falls. Just for practice. And after 90s, they are getting, I don't know, did they get those submarines, the nuclear-powered submarines? Are they still coming? Like, one little tiny rocket from China, Australia is finished. And America can't do anything about it. Cannot do anything about it. So imagine, did you know, my beloveds, if you are not aware of this, Russia and China are already in the Middle East. Can I be a little bit more deep? Is that okay? Do you know what happened to Lebanon? Because the next safest country for the Jewish people is Lebanon. My goodness. I don't want to talk too much. Oh, people are being killed for nonsense. For some sick in the head people. Controlled by Satan. Sick in the head. Syria, Lebanon are strategic because you have the Mediterranean Sea. And there is Cyprus. You're from Cyprus? Well done. Did you know there is a British military base in Cyprus that runs the country, controls the country behind the scenes? So British has a military base in Cyprus. And then you have the Mediterranean Sea, Lebanon. Mediterranean Sea, Syria. So Russia and China said, we need to come into Syria to control the Middle East. And America said, well, we need to take over Lebanon. You're going to have a naval base in Syria, we're going to have our naval base in Lebanon. And let's see who's going to win. All these games will end up into a real one. Israel will be striked by China, Russia being the leader, the brain behind it. But look what the Lord is going to do. Now that strike is called the Great Tribulation. You know, we talk about that in Revelation chapter 13, the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is aimed at the house of Jacob, i.e. the Jewish people, the Israelite nation. Why? Because the Lord Jesus will not be able to bring them back to Him unless they go through a big persecution that they have never encountered. The Holocaust is going to be a walk in the park compared to what's coming. It's going to be a walk in the park. So the Great Tribulation is where Israel being struck by a superpower. Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and maybe also Turkey will be involved. So now, when they get struck, but the major ones are Russia and China. When they get struck, the Jewish people will come to this realization, we need our Savior. You know, when we go through a very tragic and horrific event in our life, it shakes us from within so deep and so far beyond measures. We have never ever experienced such a horrific tragedy that is beyond the ultimate of all ultimate earthquakes. When we are shaken so far and so deep, that will definitely make you sit and think, I need God in my life. Because at that moment, you will know, not only think, you will know you cannot do it anymore. You cannot help it anymore. You are hopeless, useless. You came to a full halt. Unless not my mom, not my dad, not my brother, sister, friend, cousin, husband, wife. No human being can come to my rescue. Only God can. At that moment, when you truly call upon His holy name, you will know you have done it for the first time ever in your life. God will be there with you before you finish your sentence. That's what's going to happen to the Jewish people. They will go through this great tribulation, which they have never ever experienced it before. They'll come to this realization with all the money, all the wealth, all the power they have, which they control the world with their money. They control it. But all that becomes nothing. They'll realize we need God. But hang on, which God? Oh, our forefathers crucified someone over 2,000 years ago. And then some eyewitnesses said he rose from the dead. And his name is Yeshua. Mashiach, Yeshua. What have we done? Son of David, have mercy on us. The Lord Jesus said it before the crucifixion. You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Son of David, have mercy on me. When they call upon the name of the Son of David, Yeshua, look what he's going to do to these mighty, mighty empires and superpower nations. Siri, you never get it. I'm sacking you. Look what he's going to do. Verse 9, I'll sum it up. They went up on the breadth of the earth. These mighty army, Russia, China, hundreds of millions. The bloodshed that will take place in the Middle East will be for the first time ever. There will be huge bloodshed in the Middle East. Huge. When China and Russia come with their mighty force and go through the Middle East to strike Israel. Huge. The day Israel is struck by a superpower nation, remember, World War III nuclear weapon has begun. One third of the world's population will perish. They'll die. They'll just melt. The other third, diseases and the outcomes of the nuclear exposure will take care of them. One third will remain, and you don't want to be alive. You'd rather be dead. Those who will remain alive, they'll start eating each other. Has anyone here seen the first Mad Max movie, Mel Gibson? Some of us are still very young for that, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mad Max. You know, it was like the world, Sydney was destroyed, the whole world was destroyed, and people are still trying to survive. So they would kill for, I don't know, whatever. Piece of bread, a gallon of petrol. Yeah. This is the genius approach of the human race, calling themselves, we are very smart and intelligent beings. They have created a weapon that will destroy them. This is the human intelligence. A human intelligence that is outside the circle of Jesus Christ ends up worshiping the creation, not the creator. They become so ignorant and blind, they won't be able to recognize their right hand from their left. They call the light darkness and darkness the light. I need to finish it off. They went up on the breadth of the earth. This earth means Israel. And surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. the beloved city to the heart of Jesus Christ is Jerusalem. That's his birthplace. That's where he suffered. That's where he revealed his divinity. And that's where he was crucified, was buried, and rose from the dead. That is his beloved city, Jerusalem. In 2013, we were on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. We went to this monastery that belongs to our beloved, the Syrian Orthodox Church, in the heart of all Jerusalem, St. Mark's Monastery. And while we were on the visit, we entered the church, the Lord Jesus appeared on the altar area to this piece of wreck, appeared from head to toe. My head was down and I was glued. I couldn't raise and lift my head. I'm looking down, but I'm seeing his face. I'm seeing everything about him. From head to toe, inside and out, he was all light. But I could see his eyes flickering. And I could see a glimpse of the hair, but it's all light and it's all gold. Pure, holy, gold light. None of it like here. The sun is not clean compared to his light. He surpasses. The sun will be put to shame from the brightness and the light that was emanating from him. And then he said, and he spoke to me in Arabic. He is the Lord of all languages. He can speak to you in Chinese, Mandarin, you name it, baby, Italian, any language. He speaks them all. Aussie, he'll come and say, G'day, hey, Gowan. He can do that. And he can come and say, Habib Albi Kifak. He said, Jerusalem is mine. Not the Jewish, not the Muslims, it's mine. Jerusalem is mine. I call the day and I give the green light when this land is striked or not. I am the protector of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mine, no one else's. And there is a prophecy in the Holy Bible says, O Jerusalem, the land of Emmanuel. The land of Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel? God with us, Jesus Christ. The land of Emmanuel, Jerusalem. Emmanuel came and walked on the land of Jerusalem and said, the birds of the sky have a nest to dwell in, and the foxes have homes to go and rest in, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head upon. Yet I'm the owner, but I chose not to have one little tiny piece of this world. What are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. When they strike Israel, the Jewish people will come back and cry out to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The moment they cry out to the Lord, he will wipe all these superpowers. He will wipe them. The devil who deceived them. Wow, Satan, look what he's doing in this world. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They're already there. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thank you very much. At the end, the Lord Jesus is always triumphant. You can reject him. You can say no to him. You can fight him all your life, but he will win. At the end, he is victorious. No one stands in his way. So my advice to you, my son and daughter, don't fight the Lord. Don't reject the Lord. Don't be stubborn when you hear his voice. Don't let your heart be like a rock. Open the door and let him in. Because the more you resist him, the more he will be breaking you until you surrender. The Lord never gives up. But one day, sooner or later, I and you will give up. You cannot overcome the Lord. He comes in ways, wow. He will corner you and he'll say, now I'm waiting for the white flag to be waved by you. I'll keep on breaking you. I'll keep on breaking you until you say, Lord, enough, I surrender. And I'll leave you with this. Every time you pray, and some of us are so brilliant at this, but I'm not sure if they realize it or not. I've seen some people like in a public prayer, like in an assembly, when we start saying our Father straight away, our Father, they lift up their hands, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you see them so brilliant at it. Who lifts their hand up? Those who are captured as prisoners of war. When you go into a battle and you lose the battle, the enemy takes those soldiers as prisoners of war. Those prisoners of war, when they walk and they march, how do they walk? When they lift their hands up, meaning, I have no gun, nothing, please don't shoot me. I surrender because I tried to fight you, but I couldn't overcome you. So now that's it. I give up. I surrender. We've been fighting the Lord for so many years. We've been fighting the Lord for so many years. We've been going against Him for so many years. He said, don't do it, and we did it. Don't say it, and we said it. Don't go, and we went. Come here, and we didn't. We've been fighting Him for so many years. The Lord said, love one another, and we hated each other's guts. The Lord said to the church, unite, and we are still going against each other and calling each other names, excommunicating this and excommunicating that, and saying, my faith is right and your faith is wrong. And the Lord is saying, enough. What will the Lord do? We've been fighting Him for too long. The Lord is left with no choice but to break us. And so easily He can do it. Before we even blink our eyes, we become nothing. Oh. The Lord allowed me to go through hell after the incident. I've realized why now. I couldn't understand it while I was in hell. Let me tell you. This hell was unbearable. Not even for 1 second you couldn't bear it. I can guarantee you, this is not a show off. What show off? It's hell. But let me tell you, please, I beg you, listen. The hell that the Lord allowed me to walk through, I begged Him for mercy, not even a whisper. Not even a whisper. He sent His mom, my sweetheart, the love of my life, Mother Mary. I can't live without her. He sent me His saints. I'm not making it up. May the Lord strike me dead. Open your ears, your hearts, your minds, your entire being. The saints came literally. The Holy Mother came literally. Not imagination. No, literally. But it was hell for 4 months. Yet, not even a second was bearable. 4 months of hell. People went to sleep. I couldn't. Suffocating 4 months. With little reliefs here and there. But they were so little and so short, I didn't even feel them. You can't live, you can't die, you can't sit, you can't get up, you can't talk, you can't be quiet, you can't walk, you can't stand. Hell. Satan was coming very harsh. 4 months. Beyond measures. I'm still standing. You know, no one can help you except Jesus Christ. No one. No one. If you say this person is number one in my life, you're mistaken. Because the Lord will prove it. He's nothing just like you. Unless you make me number one in your life, you'll never be 10 out of 10. Because you're zero. And I'm the only I am one. When I put the zero next to me, you become 10 out of 10. Unless you get 10 out of 10, you cannot enter God's kingdom, because the Lord says, be perfect just like your heavenly Father is. It takes perfection to enter God's kingdom. 99.99999 will take you to hell, because it takes a perfect number to make you to heaven. And the only one who is perfect is Jesus Christ, who can take you to heaven. Without Jesus, there is no heaven, there is no life, there is nothing but hell and absolute eternal death. Jesus is the one who makes life beautiful. He said, I'll let you walk through hell and I will not answer you. You will cry, and I did, literally. Never answered me. 4 months beyond hell. There was a question that came a couple of months ago and said, Bishop, what has changed in your life after the incident? Without even blinking about it, I said one thing. My love has increased immensely beyond measures for the Lord Jesus. That's what's changed. I love him more. Be strong. Be courageous. You got a problem? What problem? The Lord is here. The Lord is near. There is no problem. You're suffering? Who cares? You're in pain? Who cares? The doctor's saying you're gonna die in a week's time? Who cares? If I live or die, I am for the Lord. I am for Christ. And actually, death is a gain, because through death I get to see my Lord face to face. No more looking in a mirror or a maze. I'll see him face to face. And there is nothing more glorious than seeing Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, and healing in its wings, standing before me, or I should say, standing before his holy presence. Nothing more glorious. Whether I open my eyes in this world or the next, as long as I'm with the Lord, trust everything. Entrust everything in the Lord's capable hands. Entrust everything in the Lord's capable hands. And yeah, entrust everything in the Lord's capable hands. You know, I was begging the Lord just to take me out of that hell. Maybe it wasn't a good idea. In that hell, I saw heaven. And when I came out of there, I saw hell. You cannot understand it unless you live it. But let me tell you one thing. Jesus Christ is the only truth. It's up to you. Jesus Christ is the only truth. It's up to you. You want to have fun? Go for it. You want to refuse this truth? Go for it. Whether you're a Christian or not, go for it. But at the end, everybody will know. I know. I thank the Lord, he showed me beforehand. He's 6'1", right? Tan skin, long face, browny, crispy hair, split in the middle all the way to the shoulders. The beard is brownish, reddish, very short. It's not as long as this, definitely not white. I'm older than him. And he's stunning. He's the living Messiah. Oh, his mom? Whoa. Woohoo. Whoa. I die for my mom. I adore my mom. I don't call her Mother Mary. I call her Mama. She's my mama. She's my mom. Hello, mom. Good morning, mom. How are you, mom? Goody, goody, mom. I love you, mom. Thank you, mom. Oh, she came. She came so many times and helped me. She came, my beloveds. I'm not making it up. It's up to you. You want to believe it or not, as Christians, even. It's up to you. Believe me, it's up to you. You should try it. Call her. She'll come. If you mean it. If you are seeking the truth, Call her. But she will come and say one thing. My son. I take you to my son. My son is the only one. That's Mother Mary. My son is the only one. My son is the only one. God bless you. Thank you very much. God bless you. And let us stand for the finale prayer, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Amen. May the Lord Jesus bless you, guide you, and protect you all the days of your life, now and forevermore. Amen.